The priests said they were men of God, but the things they did, no man of God would want to do. I don't have to elaborate. I don't even want to. But some things happened to some of us that we'd rather not talk about.
Sago, Skinagoga, welcome to the Storyteller. From the deserts of the Southwest to the frozen tundra of the North, and all across this great land there are stories. True stories of First Nations people whose lives have been changed forever, who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Join us now as we listen to The Storyteller.
My name is Ann Morrow. I'm originally from the Saddle Lake Reserve, northeast of Edmonton. My mother was Native, and my dad was white. I grew up in the residential school in the nearby town of St. Paul. The name of the school was Blue Quills. I was 5 when I went to school because my dad was a single parent. I did love school, the learning part of it. I really loved to read. But the religious part of it, I didn't learn too much because every time you turn around, you were kneeling to pray and you didn't know who you were praying to or what you were saying. So that part wasn't very good. I didn't know how to pray or what to do. They asked us to go to confession. We'd go to confession and we'd make up stories about what we did, whether we did it or not, just so we have something to tell. Because if we didn't say anything, well, the priest kept on asking us, did you do this and did you do that and did you do this? And we all had to say no, because we didn't even know what he was talking about half of the time. But some of the nuns were good to us, especially one that I remember. She taught me how to sew. And cut out clothes. We even made suits for boys. So I did the cutting part. Others did the sewing part. Other times I do the sewing and they do the cutting. But I love doing things like that. And I learned how to do those things. I also learned about personal hygiene, good grooming. There were different things that I learned that were good. They were not all bad. The bad things I'd like to forget, but you never forget things like that. You try to forget them and somebody says something and the memories come flooding back. So I don't know. I think it's something we have to live with. The priests said they were men of God, but the things they did, no man of God would want to do. I don't have to elaborate. I don't even want to. But some things happened to some of us that we'd rather not talk about. Not all of us. But some, and not all the priests, but some of them were really bad. As I told the lawyers when we had that thing about residential schools, we all were asked to go to a lawyer and tell our stories. And I told the lawyer, I hope when the priests stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they will know enough to ask forgiveness. They know they were lying when they denied everything, and still they denied it. You know, we wouldn't lie about things like that, things that we never knew about until they taught us. They're probably all dead now because they were quite old when I was in residential school. I'd hate to be one of them anyway. The Lord certainly brought healing because before I became a Christian, I couldn't even talk to a priest. When I got married, I couldn't even look him in the eye. I just turned away from the priest, and I didn't believe anything he said, like marriage was for life and everything like that. I thought you were a liar from the beginning. You're still a liar, and I'm not going to believe you. So, anyway, after I became a Christian, then I learned to forgive. There were people just like me and just like anybody else. They were all sinners just like the rest of us. And I just pray that they too have asked for forgiveness. Because I have forgiven them, now I'm able to tolerate them. Because I couldn't before. I couldn't even go to a Catholic church when my husband asked me, because he was Catholic himself. I think later on he might have accepted the Lord as a Savior, because my daughter that was just here was at his deathbed, and he said he was a born-again Christian to her. He knew what a born-again Christian was. But I know the Lord has brought healing in my life, because I used to get so angry. Anybody would mention anything about the priest or nuns, and I'd get just so angry at them, you know, even if they weren't around. And I know my sisters suffered the same thing. I had two sisters in the residential school also. I knew because of their anger that they too suffered the same thing. I don't know, I developed an anger that I couldn't deal with. But now I've lost that since I asked the Lord for forgiveness. I don't have that feeling anymore. And those memories don't come back so often anymore like they used to. I used to still have nightmares at my age about that time in my life, which I don't have those nightmares anymore. So I must be healed. So I spent about 8 years in the residential school. They taught us a lot about God, but they didn't teach us almost anything about Jesus. We didn't learn anything about Jesus except at Christmas. They put a creche on the altar and with a baby in it, a baby doll, and they told us that was baby Jesus. And that's almost all I'd heard about Jesus. Until years later, when Dad was moving to BC, he stopped over in Pinoca. And my oldest sister got married there. I was going with Dad to BC as he had planned, but my sister wanted me to stay with her. So she was going to stay in Alberta with her husband and children. She already had 2 or 3 children. So in order for me to stay in Alberta, Dad said I had to get married. And I was only 16 years old. I didn't know who to marry, so they arranged it all for me. I married my sister's brother-in-law, her husband's brother, but I didn't know him from Adam. All I know is that his name was Pete, and he had two little boys. So they finally introduced me to him, and I married him. Married life wasn't all that good. When I first saw him drunk, it was about a month after we were married. And I didn't know what was wrong with him because I had never seen a drunk in my life. My dad never drank, and I never saw a drunk in those days. You don't see them like you do today on the streets anywhere. At that time, growing up, I never saw a drunk. I think my husband was the first drunk I ever saw in my life. I didn't know what was wrong with him until the other man told me that they had been drinking alcohol. There's a lot of suffering because you go without a lot, even the children go hungry, and especially when they start school, they need so many things. They don't have the clothes to wear. I used to take in washing and sewing before I started working so that I could clothe and feed my children. My husband had a good job. He was fortunate in that way, but the money went elsewhere, not to the family. Anyway, I never heard about Jesus while I was in that situation. We went to church, my husband and I. He was Catholic, and we went to church twice a year, at Easter and at Christmas. And that's about all we had to go by. He didn't go to church himself on Sundays. So we lived in a small town called Sundry. That year he was working with the Alberta government builders, elevator builders. They moved all over Alberta to build grain elevators. So we moved along with him and moved from place to place. Every 4 or 5 months we'd move to a different place. Well, at the time I first heard about salvation was in a little church in Sundry. A man came to my house and invited me to church. He brought a book with him. That was the Bible, and he gave it to me. Mom had left 6 of us kids when she left Dad. My youngest brother was 2 years old, and my oldest sister was 13, and I was in the middle. She left when I was I must have been 5, because I went to school when I was 5 years old. And I used to get sort of a funny feeling, like when children talked about their mums. Well, I had no mum to speak of, so I know I had a mother somewhere, but where, I didn't even know her. And a number of years back, she came to find us when we lived in Pinoca. I left that part out, I guess. I was now 21 years old, and I had my first baby boy when she came to find me. And I didn't recognize her. When she walked in the door with my sister-in-law, I thought to myself, where have I seen this woman before? It seems like I had seen her somewhere, but if my life depended on it, I couldn't remember where I had seen her. And my little boy was crawling on the floor. I had spread a quilt on the floor, and he was crawling already. He was crawling around on the floor, and all of a sudden she bent down and grabbed him and took him on her lap, and I saw tears in her eyes. And I thought, what's the matter with this woman? Maybe she lost the baby or something. She wasn't old then, you know. But she put him on her lap and started talking, and all of a sudden my sister-in-law that came with her and showed her where to go said, Anne, are you crazy? I said, well, I don't think so. And she said, you don't even recognize your own mother? Just out of the blue like that, you know. I was so flabbergasted. I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. I just said, my mother, you know, and that's all I said. I didn't know what the lady expected or my mother, but I didn't get up or throw my arms around her or anything like that. I just looked at her and she was crying, so it didn't affect me. I was, I don't know, hard-hearted or something. I don't know. I'm not as soft-hearted as I am now, not at that time. Anyway, she came back to visit quite often, and then she looked for my other brothers and sisters. One sister lived not too far away, so she looked for her and found her also. And after that, she came back every few years to visit me. I got to know her, and after I became a Christian, I got to love her and forgive her. As a matter of fact, I kept her when she was unable to do things for herself. I kept her the last 4 years of her life. I heard she was unable to look after herself on Sad Lake Reserve, so I went and got her. And I kept her at home. I was working at the time, so I still worked. Between times I looked after her, but she lived right with me. My children were all gone then. And I kept her until she died. She died of a stroke in 1989. She was 96 years old when she died. Well, at the time I first heard about salvation was in a little church in Sundry. A man came to my house and invited me to church. He brought a book with him. That was the Bible, and he gave it to me. When we were in the residential school, we were told never to accept a man into our houses that came with a black book. So I was sort of nervous to take it from him, but I accepted it anyway. And he asked me to go to, if I ever went to church, I said no. So he invited me to church there. He said they accept anyone that goes to church. They don't turn anybody away. So I went to church in Sundry. But what really made me understand about salvation was that special Sunday I went to church, there was a group of Bible students from the Berean Bible College in Calgary, and they were giving their testimonies. Of course, I didn't know anything from the testimony to any, from anything else, but I saw them go up to the front and speak, and they told about what Jesus had done in their lives, and they were so sure that they were saved. They were so certain, because I heard them say that when they die, they'll be on their way to heaven because their sins are forgiven. And I thought to myself, how can you be so sure that your sins are forgiven? How can you be so certain that you're on your way to heaven? And all these questions kept whirling in my mind, but of course I never asked anybody. I went back home, and sometimes I'd open that book and read it. I didn't understand too much of it because it was the old King James version of the Bible. And when I began to read it, I read it from the beginning. I started with Genesis. Of course, I didn't know that was the book of Genesis either, but I didn't understand too much of it. I understood that God made the world and all this and that, like they told us in the residential school. But I didn't understand anything else. Even when I read the Bible, it was such archaic English or old English that I didn't understand too much of it. So I'd give it up and put the book away and go on from there. And then we moved again to a different place, at a place called Westrose, near Pigeon Lake. And one Sunday I was home alone and my husband was out drinking somewhere, I don't know where, but he used to drink a lot. And I turned the radio on. I was just fiddling around with the stations looking for something I could listen to. It must have been a Sunday because I heard this gospel broadcast. I didn't know it was a gospel broadcast, but I listened to it. The man was speaking in the Cree Indian language. And at the time, I didn't understand the Cree Indian language like I do now because I grew up with the English language. It was something different to listen to this man speaking the Cree language. I've heard it and I understood some words, but I couldn't speak it. Towards the end of the program, he must have told a plan of salvation, but it didn't get to me at the time. But towards the end of the program, he said, Jesus said that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he said the chapter and the verse in Cree, is John 6:37, the latter part of it. So after the program was over, the broadcast, I took the Bible down from the shelf and I started reading it again. And I found this John 6:37. I found the chapter and the verse and I read it. And sure enough, that's what it said. So I thought to myself, if I come to this man, will he accept me just as I am? Just like the way the man said. And I kept thinking on that. After a while, I got down on my knees because at the residential school, when we prayed, we got down on our knees. So I got down on my knees by the radio. I don't remember the exact words, but I begged the Lord to forgive my sin. I knew I was a sinner. So I thought if this man would receive me, the man Jesus, and if I come to him and ask him for forgiveness, he won't turn me away. So that's what I did. When I knelt down, I asked him to forgive my sins and that I would try to live for him. And I think that's all I said. So I got back up off my knees and sat down and read the Bible. I didn't get too much of it still. I started from Genesis, and after a while I thought to myself, I wish I had someone to teach me to understand this book. And I didn't know there was such a thing as Christians anywhere close by. But the school teacher from the Fallen School was Mrs. Lillian Pegg. She was a neighbor. Shortly after, a couple of days or so, Mrs. Lillian Pegg came to me and started witnessing to me, I guess it was. But I didn't know she was witnessing, talking about Jesus and asking me if I was a Christian and if I ever accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I told her what I had done. And she invited me to church. And that's where I got grounded in the Word of the Lord. I began to learn more and more. I went to the Baptist church there on the highway. It's still there today. And it's still in use, that little church on the highway 13 going towards Pigeon Lake. Anyway, for the whole summer we were there and part of the winter, because the kids were going to school then, we stayed in one place. We didn't move around like we used to. If Pete had to go to work, he went to work by himself. But I stayed home with the children. And they got going to Sunday school, and I went to the adult Sunday school and also the Bible studies, Wednesday night prayer meetings. And they taught me a lot. That's where I got grounded in the Word of the Lord and got to know Jesus personally. After about a year or so, our house burned down. And I thought that was a real disaster because we now didn't have a place to live. A man was kind enough to lend us a farmhouse. We moved into there. But I went to church quite regularly, even if my husband didn't go. At first he tried to prevent me from going, but since I was going with a lady, he didn't mind so much, so he let me go to church for the whole time we lived there, which was about 5 or 6 years, I think. But when our house burned down, we started looking for a place to live. My husband went to Edmonton, and he met this man at the bus depot that told him about a Métis settlement northeast of Edmonton. So we moved from there in the summertime and moved to the Kikino Métis settlement. We lived in a tent to begin with because there was no house. We lived in a tent for part of the summer, and then he built a log house, and we moved into the log house, and we stayed there for 5 years. And there again, I met a man that invited me to go to church, and he was a native. His name was Bill Jackson, and he invited me to church, so I got going to church, and the kids got going to Sunday school, and we were happily settled there. We lived there for 5 or 6 years, I think it was. We really were grounded in the faith then, because Bill Jackson was a good teacher. And he taught me about the Lord. And every Sunday he was there regularly, and he'd come for visits also. And I started helping at the church there. One Sunday he asked me to teach Sunday school. I think we had lived there for about a year or so when he asked me to teach Sunday school. And I thought to myself, there's so many people here that have been going to church all their lives. Why doesn't he ask someone from the group? But I didn't ask him, of course. I just said, I can try to teach Sunday school. I don't know how I'll do, I said, but I can try. So when I went home after he asked me to teach Sunday school, I took my Bible and I read and I read and I read some more. I think I read until midnight. Every day I'd do that until the following Sunday. I tried to cram everything I could into my mind, and of course, I couldn't know all about it, but I tried. I thought to myself, how can I teach something that I don't know next to nothing about, you know, because I was a fairly new Christian. But anyway, I started teaching Sunday school, and that helped me a lot because I think I learned more than my students did. I taught myself more than I taught them from studying the Bible and going to every Bible study. But I felt as if I'd never know enough. The more I heard, the more I knew, the more I wanted to know. It was just like a hungry person. When you eat something, you want to keep on eating because it's so good. But the Word of the Lord was something I never got enough of. I wanted to read and read and read. So every free minute I had, I read the Bible. And that's what I did. And finally, I started teaching a ladies' sewing club also. We talk about Jesus and the Bible and do our sewing at the same time, and helping with the church and Bible camps. It kept me busy, and I was happy there. Whenever I had a problem, I thought I thought to myself, life was so hard. I had so many problems. But every time I had a problem, I'd go to Bill about it, and he always pointed me to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord. And I thought to myself, well, why doesn't he quote it to me instead of I have to read it for myself? But I guess that's how he taught. Anyway, he'd quote Bible verses to me that I was supposed to read whenever I asked a question. He pointed me to the Bible. So I got in the habit of reading the Bible, which I still do. I love God's Word. From then on, I always tried to be regular and go to church on Sundays and Bible studies. And it was not an easy life, and it's still not. Of course, I have it good here now in the senior lodge. I hardly have to do anything for myself. Everything is done for me. But the Lord has been so good to me in every way. Whenever I'm sick, I know where to go. I go to the Lord with it. When I'm in trouble, I go to the Lord. There's nowhere else to go but to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can help us, and he has helped me all my life since I accepted him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the babe who was born at Christmas. He knew that he was going to come to earth in time past to come and die for sinners like us. Still, he didn't turn away from what his Father had in store for him. He knew that he would die on the cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiven. There is no other way that our sins could be forgiven except to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. He came to live and die for us so that we might live again in eternity with him. Because we're sure of eternity once we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we can be certain that when we die, we'll go to live in heaven with him. He paid the price that God required. He suffered and died on Calvary so that we could be forgiven. And he's still the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the same Jesus that walked this earth and healed the sick and the blind. He still can do the same. He's still doing miracles every now and again. I've seen quite a few in my life. I'm happy that I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I don't think I could live any other life. But to continue to live for what I have left of life, I am now 85 years old. I was in my late 30s when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And with his help, I've tried to live for him as much as I could, and to raise my children so that they too would know the Lord. There's no one like Jesus. I love him, and I pray that each one who hears this broadcast will get to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Have you ever read the Bible? In its pages, we learn about Jesus Christ, who himself suffered terribly at the hands of others. And even while he was being put to death on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the heart of Jesus. He wants us to be forgiven. They didn't know the one they were killing came to give them life, and they didn't know that 3 days later he would rise from the dead. My friend, maybe you've suffered at the hands of others. Jesus understands more than you know, In fact, we are the reason that He died on that cross. He took our place, our penalty, our shame, so that we could be forgiven and have peace with God forever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.